I will share today, and then next week will be Brother Jonathan. Jonathan will share next week. I will just mention the theme of the for our churches. Every year we have a theme, meaning we emphasize on one aspect of the truth, and we work hard toward this goal. So like today's, I want a little bit mention, and then next week I think Jonathan will be more specific or more sharing detail about the theme we have. For this year, our theme is preach the gospel of kingdom to all the nation, to all the land, and then our testimony. And then Jesus, before Jesus came back, that is the condition. If you look at the Matthew chapter 24, talk about the condition for Jesus' second return, second coming is, one is the gospel had to preach to all over the nation, all over the land. And then the second condition is the Antichrist will be on the stage of the world. So we don't know. And then the third is the temple of Israel need to be rebuilt. So that's three. And then the last two we cannot control. The only one we can do, we can make effort, and we can help to get Jesus come back soon. That is the only one we can do, is preach the gospel to the whole nation. So that's what we're going to have the theme of this year. Anyway, I will be continuing on the book of Ephesians, the New Testament book of Ephesians. Probably not many people read this book or even familiar with this book. But if you look at the all the New Testament, most of them are written by Paul, and this is one of the book. All the preacher or Christian, they will say this is the highest revelation from God. Besides other truths, basic truth, this is one of the high revelation from God. Meaning, we only know about mostly we know the gospel, the salvation. Like we know that once we believe in Jesus, then our sin will be forgiven. And we can enter, we have a new life, born again, and we'll be enter the kingdom. That is wonderful. So some people may not know like enter a kingdom. They just say, we have eternal life, that's it. But if you look at the heart of God, God actually has a bigger picture. Just like when you build a house like this, you may do in the lighting, you may do in the electrician, and some people may do in the drywall or like a carpet on the floor. And you have no idea what this house will look like. And you have no idea whether this is a small house or this will be a big palace, you know, magnificent. You have no idea. But God will show us, even though we have all different background, we have different job, and your purpose in your individual life may be different. But God will show you all this. It doesn't matter. You have to look at, you have to see God will build his own kingdom. And God will show us that is the big picture. And this is the book, talk about this. If you want to know about truth of salvation, you will turn to Roman. Now, Roman is talk about very detailed, and most people will turn to Roman if you want to, you know what is the gospel. What is a believer can live a life, praise God. Then you turn to Roman or Galatian. Galatian will tell you, this is not what gospel. Or Roman tell you, this is the gospel. You just do this, positive. You know, gospel tell you two aspects. One aspect is Jesus' blood cleanses our sin. We're forgiven by sin. And then the other one is the cross. The cross will deal with our old self. And this is pretty good. I mean, most people probably thinking this is pretty good. So the Roman will tell you how to be free from sin, how to be free from the law of bondage, how to live a life with the filled with the Holy Spirit, and that is the Roman. Now Roman, the first part talk about the truth, the second part talk about the real life, how to be in a real life apply this truth. So there's two part in the Roman. Galatian is a churches at the early of apostles stage. They believe in Christ. They accept the Holy Spirit. But then they think, oh, that's not enough. because some of the Jewish people tell them, it's not enough just believe in Christ. You also have to follow, also have to obey all the law Moses gave it to you. So meaning, believe in Christ is only one part to enter. And then once you enter a door, how to live a life of holy life, you need to look at the Old Testament. You have to obey all the Jewish, the Moses give them the law. And Paul said, no, no, this is wrong. Totally wrong. You just change the gospel. When you do this, you're no longer in the gospel. You're already out of Christ. You are not in Christ. So Paul said, no, you enter by grace. You walk the way, all the way, it's just grace. Nothing you need. You don't need the law to tell you, do this, do not. The Holy Spirit will inside of you tell you what to do. When you're in that situation, when your life, your daily life, just come build up yourself, have a good, right relationship with Christ. Unite with Christ. Be that, that's it, no more. So that's Galatians tell us. And you look at the First Corinthians, Second Corinthians, the two part, the two aspect. The First Corinthians talk about churches. They have been a lot of talent. You know, they have a lot of different spiritual gift, but they use the spiritual gift in the wrong way. So the churches become a lot of sin. You know, people not separate themselves. They just live in outward. And inside has no real life. But God didn't give up. God said, you have to repent. You have to just focus on Christ and he crucified. Only two, Christ and he crucified, nothing else. If you look at this, all your problem will be solved. That is First Corinthians. So First Corinthians tells us, even today we see churches not perfect. The church may have a lot of your criticize here and there. But don't forget, God is making. God is under process. In the future, you see this is a perfect and it's a bride. It's a bride, the church. So we don't look at a church and see criticize. This is not good. That's not right. So this is totally not house church. No, that's wrong. God said, look at Christ. And then if you look at 2 Corinthians, it's talk about one person, Paul himself, how to become from afresh, from a man of old man, old self, become a spiritual man. That is the Paul's personal experience of life journey. And is if you read 2 Corinthians, you can see Paul opened up his heart to you. No matter his weakness or strong point, he just opened up everything. How he experienced God, how he experienced the cross of Christ. So this is four books talk about salvation. Then Ephesians talk about God's bigger picture, the kingdom. The kingdom, the all the blessing God wants to give us in order we enjoy the all the riches of God in Christ. So that is this book. And this book focuses on the churches. And Colossians focuses on Christ, the head of the church. Okay, so this is two parts. So just give you some idea. And then we'll continue on the Ephesians. Last time we just briefly talked about Ephesians. We didn't really get into the book. We talked about sent to be holy. To be holy meaning opposite is ordinary. To be holy meaning I separate myself only for God's purpose. That is called. It's not you do something. When you say I will be holy, I will be like a saint, meaning you separate yourself. You know I live just for Christ. No matter what I do in this world, I know I belong to God. You are ownership, no longer yourself. That's called holy. Holy is not mean I will try to do myself every day will not sin against God. Although that's good attitude, but that's not definition of the holy. The holy meaning I know my ownership now is not my parents. It's not myself. It's God. It's the Lord Jesus. That's it. If you have this right attitude, you read the Bible, you'll open up to you. You do whatever, you will see either it's difficult situation or it's smooth, you will see Christ in your life. The most difficult for Christian today is you live in an ordinary life. And when you have difficulty in your life, You just ask God, God bless me, God solve this problem, then I will know you are true. Then normally, this kind of attitude will drift away from God. Well, gradually, you will no longer believe the word of God. So that is, but if you know I, not for myself, my owner, my ownership no longer myself, is transferred to God, then no matter what situation, you know he is in charge. So that's the holy and common. And then I also talk about in Christ, because the book in the first chapter, you can see in Christ more than like 9 times or 10 times, which is just last time. So you can see in Christ, this is very important. Because from if you read Romans chapter 5, start from verse, I think, 17 or 12, the second part of Romans chapter 5 talk about there's only two men. There's only two men in front of God. There's only two. Although we have like 77 billion, right? 7 billion population. And including history in the past until today and the future, we have so many population and so many, I mean, all of one is different character. You know, some are maybe very emotional, some are very, very reasonable. So it's all different people, very different character. No single two-person character the same, no different. But God only see two people. Do you know who? The first one is Adam. The last one is Jesus. So you either in Jesus or you are in Adam. There's only two. Because God see the life's origin. Origin. Not how you met, not how you act, not how you believe, not how you behave. God only see two kind of life. One is from Adam. So from Adam, meaning I live for myself because I ate, Adam ate the life and the fruit of good, the knowledge of good and evil. So it meaning he is choose something for, you know, I myself will be decided what to do. I decide what is good, what is evil. So that is kind of life. It's not something bad. It's just not a life connect with God. It's a life independent to God. And you know, we are created. We are not a creator. So we have no, that kind of life can resist the evil temptation. So if we have only life from our parents, that is all self. So in the morning, this morning, Jonathan emphasized, is born again. A lot of Christians, maybe you feel, I am a Christian, and I read the Bible, but you have to ask yourself, whether I am dear for God, whether I know my ownership now is the Lord Christ, whether I'm born again. If you don't have born again, then all you do is just follow the tradition, just follow some kind of ritual. So anyway, we talk about in Christ. In Christ meaning you have born again life. You have life from Christ, so you will be united with Christ. No matter that life is small, young, like a baby, or is a mature, like adult, it doesn't matter. It's just you have the life, and then that's in Christ. And then we also say, Christ in me. Last time I mentioned about, I am in Christ and Christ in me. How can that be? I mean, this is get us crazy about it. Well, there's nothing I can really show you example in this world. I am in Christ and Christ also in me. But this topic is too big topic. I'm not going to do this. I'm trying, maybe try other occasion. But this is not today's topic. But in Christ and Christ in me is two very important aspects of Christian life according to the Bible, and this is very important. If you have experienced your life, follow the Christ, and gradually you will see these two, the in Christ and Christ in me. Okay. Now today I'm going to this one. Oh, this one. Oh, I see. Oh, I need to go forward, fast forward. This is last time we have. Okay, last time we talked about in Christ and Christ in me. All right, okay, now this is. Okay. Can we read the verse? Let's see, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. I didn't print out here, so we just turn up to, because we are focused on the Ephesians chapter 1, We start from verse 3 and then to 8. I don't know if I can finish, but I try to finish like 3 to 6. Okay, can you turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 to 8? Then let's start it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in a heavenly place in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we will be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespass, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. Maybe let's do it through to 14, because I'm here. So let's, verse 9. He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the time. That is the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who work all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ will be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you are sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. Okay, if you read this from verse 3 until 14, the verse 3 was said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in a heavenly place in Christ. So meaning God already give us, he has already give us every spiritual blessing in heavenly place in Christ. So there are a few we have to know about. First is in Christ. It's only inside of Christ God can give you this. If you're outside of Christ, meaning if you're not a believer, then even God want to give you to you, just cannot. Just not meet with the term of God, because you're still a sinner. Your sin has not been cleansed. So God cannot give you anything. So that is the sin in Christ. And then also saying that every spiritual blessing, meaning God has not withheld anything not given to us. God has given us, and it's already done, already doing this, every spiritual blessing in a heavenly place in Christ. Today, if we want to attract people here, we may say we have a seminar to learn how to make money by investing, right? Good expert here. Like a finance advisor. And if I am a good advisor and I have a track record of advise people 9 out of 10, meaning 9 out of 10 times, I success. I mean, everyone follow me will make a lot of money. Then when I print it and then I send a flyer out, well, this room will pack of people. They want to know how to be success. They want to be make money. And so that is people were looking today. But if you say, we have a gospel night and we'll give you eternal life when you believe in Christ, just come. You pay nothing. And we also have dinner prepared for you. Would people come? Probably not. Maybe only a few of our friends, because we invite them so often. We try to use our relationship, our personal, and then they give us a face, saying, let's just show up. So that maybe has some people. And then you can see. So people today, we don't bring people because we ourselves sometimes doing the same thing. So like if I say, well, today if you come here to listen to a gospel, and then you will receive 2 houses free with a bonus, meaning you have spiritual eternal life, and also you have material pressing from today's market so high, market so hot, and I'll give you two houses. So this tells you we live in a society, we live in an age. Today we are so focused on the material. We are so focused on this earthly life. But we forget about eternal life. We so focused on the 100 years we live on this earthly, but we forget about after 100 years, what you're going to do with your life. You may have 100 years success, very rich, but after that, nothing. That kind of earthly wealth, success can give you. So we'll think about it anyway. But for us, for believer, I think we know the answer. We will be looking at the every spiritual blessing God has been given to us in Christ. So just read, and then can you guys think about what else Paul in here? I can a little bit summarize for you. From verse 3 to 6 is the Father already give us before the foundation of the world. Just look at verse 4. Just as he chose us in him. He chose us. God chose us. Now we choose him. Before the foundation of the world, that we will be holy and blameless before him. So God can make a sinner like us, a person totally no hope at us, like us, can become holy, can become a blemish, can become a good vessel for him to advance his kingdom. Is that wonderful? Of course, this is wonderful. We are live in this world. We just, look at the success of this world. We work hard, but we forget about that. But once God saves us, we know. That is no longer our goal. We are no longer to pursue the success of this world. We are more like we want to live a life for God. We want to become a good steward, good vessel for God to use. And that is the change. And this is amazing. I mean, a lot of people you can see, even though today is young people, but we still see some young people, like we are young people here, Daniel and Luis and David, of course, they want to serve God with a heart. Although they're still in the college or they just graduate, not experiment, but they have a heart. And God knows how serious your heart. Once you're serious with God, then God will lead us. And that's the change. That's the point of change. Meaning the spiritual journey is not what we can do. It's just like you believe in God and God will lead us. If you have the right attitude, then God will lead us. So the beginning is God chose us in Christ and forgive our sin and redemption. We'll talk about that later. So today we only focus first 2 points. See if we can finish. One is verse number 4. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world. That we will be holy and blameless. And the second part is he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself according to the kind intention of his will. So here it says God has a will. God has a purpose for doing this salvation. God is not just random saying, oh, I look at the man I created. They are so hopeless, and I just throw some kind of goodies for them and then let them enjoy something. That's not. God, from the beginning of the creation, already has a purpose. And to make that purpose happen, God make every effort, including his own son. Sacrifice for us. So from verse 4, 5 is mentioned about God's plan. The Father's already planned this. First one, he chose people. The second one, predestined. What is predestined? Some people will say, well, if God only picked someone and they will have eternal life, then God cannot blame me because he didn't pick me. That sounds reasonable, but this is not right. Bible didn't say that. Bible said God give every one of us, everyone in the world have the chance. But if you not respond, if you not use your free will, response to the gospel, then that's your responsibility. So that I want to explain a little bit about God chose us. The second one is predestined. Predestined is something like this. Well, God is not predestined people to perish, to hell. That's not the predestined. Predestined always used to believer. Meaning, for example, your parents maybe were started training you since your kindergarten and teach you, and hopefully you will become a businessman. Or hopefully you become a doctor, or you even become maybe a president of the United States. It's kind of funny. My granddaughter, Zoe, she's very cute, and my son-in-law's mother sometimes will joke, "Wow, look at Zoe, how talented. She will be president of America in the future." I mean, of course, this is joking, but you can see the grandparents, the parents have how high the goal for your kids. No, any parent will say, "My kid will become a truck driver, bus driver, or janitor." I mean, no parent will aim that kind of goal for your kids to be, you know, just go this, and then that's your life. Of course, parent is not, you know, discriminate and say, you know, bus driver is not good, it's like a law. I'm not saying that, but just parents always have a goal, or, you know, ask your children to be, you know, shooting for that high goal. So that is called predestined. Your parents want you to do it. And also, same thing here, God wants us to be, live a life, not just for enjoy our life. We have to be a vision, and then God will tell us here. He say, He predestined us to adoption as a son through Jesus Christ. So now you can see, well, I will talk about that later. So I think adoption is meaning someone is not born from your blood, but you brought them, brought a child to your house and become your children. Like all your belonging will be passed to them. That's called adoption. Let's see I can finish this. So I summarize here is just first one, chosen by Father, and this is in the past, meaning God's already done this. The second one is redemption upon redemption through Jesus, the Son of God, from verse 7 and 8, talk about redemption and forgiveness, and then that will be next in the future. I will talk about what is redemption, what is forgiveness. They are two different concepts. Sometimes we just say forgive our sin. But I want to more detail about what is redemption and what is the forgiveness of our sin. And when that happens, what will be, you know, the result? And that will be another topic. And then the third one is make known to us God's eternal will. That is also another topic. Well, once you believe, you're a believer and you're serious with God, you're willing to follow Christ, you will start to see your change, not only your life, but your value system and your priority will be changed because you know God's eternal will. And then you will gradually bring your own will, your own purpose to align with God. That's cause your change. So Bible in the Romans chapter 12 say, we have to renew our mind. God has purpose, and then we will gradually adjust our own purpose. And then you can see that. And once you're doing that, you will change your value system. You will change your priority. Some people may think this is important, but you don't think that's important. Some people may think you will waste your time. How come you have good life, you are young, and you do this, waste your time? That is because you know God's will. When I was in the Taiwan mission, that was about almost 10 years ago, 2008, so about 8 years ago. I start because I retire. I retire about 50 years old. So about 10 years ago, actually more than 10 years, I retire from Microsoft. We have short-term mission about from 2004, about 3 years. So the church's deacon's board, I was the one of deacon, and then church's deacon's board was asking, since we have a short-term mission for 3 or 4 years, maybe continue another few years, and what we're going to do about that village or that place? Are you just continue doing this, or we have another purpose to establish longer, long-term mission station? So we'll pray about it and ask it. And then finally, I'm saying, I'm retired, and I grew up from the Taiwan. I can speak Taiwanese, and look like I am the one. So God called me, maybe. So and then we just pray about it. And then finally, I decided, my wife and myself, since my kids, they all graduated from college, so we are free. So we just moved back to Taiwan in a village, which is I grew up, very small village. There's only one or two grocery stores since I was a kid until now, still the same. All the house, no change. So that's where I grew up, the village. Of course, some people will build new building, three-story building, and most of people build, but they all build on the same, you know. Same. So I knew every one of them. I know every, because I grew up from the village, and from old to young, of course, the newer generation, I don't know, but the older, my parents' age and my age's friends, I know them. So one day, I went back to the village and kind of remodeled my house and become like a classroom for kids. We have afternoon kids program because the first grade and second grade only half day. So the other half day, parents either send them to Busiban, you know, Busiban, like after school, take care of them, help them to do homework or teach them. And I say, okay, we can open up, and if parents doesn't have money to afford it, or they don't want to send their kids to, they can send to me, to my place. So we accept that 25 kids, and we just use the half day to teach them. And one day, the lady, very old lady, my mother, my mom's friends, live behind us, and then knock the door, say, what, someone live here? Since this house has been vacant for a long time, and recently start to see the light at night. You live here? I said, yes, I live here. He was asking, didn't you move to US? I said, yes. And then I just moved back. And then he was asking, what are you going to do here? There's nothing you can do here. And I said, well, I'm retired, and I want to help the kids here, and I'm a Christian. So, and then she was mentioned, why you're so young? And because her son, also my age. So she'll tell me, my son is in Taipei, and how much he made a month, and he has a wife, and how much they made a month together, and they have a house, like, and then they still, you know, but very successful. And then asked me, didn't you make more money in the US? I said, of course. And then why don't you continue, you know, making your money and live a good life after you retire? And I say, well, money for now is not that important. I have enough. I think I'm not enough for this life, so I just trust the Lord, and I want to serve the kids. And he say, well, if you serve the kids, then how come you don't go to Taipei City, which the kids has more bright future? Kids here, you can see their parents were no bother. You know, they are not going to study. They are not going to have a good achievement in academic. So how come you waste your time here? Well, this is a good question, and I never think about this. So I say, I don't know. I just thinking maybe this is something I can do here. But anyway, so meaning your value system will be judged by other people too. Even that, and it will be not the stranger. It's the one knowing you. It's the one very close to you. Maybe your parents. So all this will change, yeah. And then, of course, you can see a lot of story like this. There's one, another story came up to me is, just right now, at a missionary from U.S. to Taiwan is, I think it's about 1950, so meaning maybe more than 60 years ago. This brother, he was a PhD degree in a chemistry, graduate from UC Berkeley about 1950. And since the brother, his family is pretty poor, so the parents had good expectation. Once my older son graduate and make money, then he can take care of the family. And we have younger kids, so they will be. But this brother, unfortunately, very unfortunately, when just before he graduated, on that year, summer, he attended a Christian conference invited by a friend, and he was touched by God and also been calling to serve him. And he tried to forget this, but so many days came back to his own home. Cannot get rid of this. He couldn't get sleep. He had rest life. He just cannot come down without answer that kind of question. So he finally kneeled down and prayed to God and submitted. Say, Lord, I submit to you. You call me wherever you want. And then later on, he has called him from overseas to Taiwan, to overseas to Chinese people, and told his parents. His parents got crazy. See, we have educated you from college all the way to graduate school. Now you have good future, but now you give up your future to serve whatever God you have. And this brother went to Taiwan in the college campus, and then finally established today they call Village Gospel Mission. Still have about 20-something gospel station in Taiwan, and the brother continued. And this brother passed away. So just tell you, once you have calling from God, and then you will gradually change. But that's not a bad thing. That's good, because eternal, this is a blessing from God. Yeah. Anyway, okay, then number four is, we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. Meaning, once you receive the gospel, then, okay, the process is just like, similar like this. Or when your friends invite you to gospel, or share with you, gospel, and then that's Holy Spirit knock on your heart. And then you can reject, or you can open your heart. Most people probably try, say, no, I'm not interested. I will maybe believe in Christ when I retire. That's what I was. And I tried to preach gospel to my friend. They said, no, not right now. I'm too busy. So that's a lot of people just shut their heart. Once you do this, the Holy Spirit will leave you. Because Holy Spirit is not force you. So they will ask you. And then some people may say, sure, I will accept Christ because I see myself. I've been open eye. I have seen people, God, I'm not a good guy. And I need a peace. So some people, once you open your heart, Holy Spirit enter. That is the truth in the first Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. So once you hear about the truth and you open your heart, accept Christ, Holy Spirit right enter into you. And that is called sealed by Holy Spirit. And this is a mark on your body. I don't know, but God can see it. We cannot see it. And this is a part of the pledge to our inheritance. What pledge meaning is a down payment. Meaning God will give you something bigger, but now just give you Holy Spirit as a down payment. And God will pledge, will give you inheritance. So the number four is God will give us the inheritance. What is inheritance? But now God just give you Holy Spirit as a down payment. Guarantee in the future, I will give you the whole inheritance. Okay, so that's 1, 2, 3, 4. Today we'll only talk about number one. I don't know if I can try. Okay. Choice and adoption. Okay. Let's read the, I don't have the scripture here. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 22. And then, chapter 22. I will not read it, but just maybe I will explain a little bit about a story. Does anyone know about this parable of the marriage? Have you read it? Okay, this is talk about the kingdom of heaven. Okay, let's read this. Jesus spoke to them again in parable, saying the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. And he went out he sent out his slave to call those who had been invited to the wedding feast. And they were unwilling to come. Again, he sent out other slaves, saying, "Tell those who have been invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, and my fatted livestock are all butchers, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast." But they paid no attention and went their way, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized his slaves and mistreated them and killed them. But the king was enraged, and he sent his army and destroyed those murderers and set their city on fire. Then he said to his slaves, "The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main highways, and as many as you find there, invite to the wedding feast." Those slaves went out into the street and gathered together all they found, both evil and good. And the wedding hall was filled with dinner guests. But when the king came in to look over the dinner guests, he saw the man there who was not dressed in wedding clothes. And he said to him, "Friend, how did you come in here without wedding clothes?" And the man was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot, and throw him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." Many are called, but few are chosen. Meaning many are calling, "Come here, come enter the kingdom, come enjoy the good," but only few accept it. Only very few accept it. So that is why chosen. So in the past of about 300 years, in the Christianity has two kind of view. One is, since God has the sovereignty to predestine someone to be saved, then we don't need to preach gospel. That is Calvin. The Calvin theology thinking, God has total authority and sovereignty. So you are totally corrupted. Men are totally corrupted. You cannot do anything to be saved. Only God can do. So if God chose you, then you are saved. If God not chose you, even you preach gospel to them, no use. So that's Calvin. And the other is Arminian. Arminian said, no. It's free will, because our free will will choose. And then they emphasize on the man's response, ignore the sovereignty of God, ignore the authority that chose by God aspect. So meaning the gospel have two aspects. One is God is sovereignty, choose us. The other is people response, like just like here. So a lot of people have been invited, but they refuse to come. So meaning our job here, we have to preach gospel. But whether they believe or not is not our job. It's not our responsibility. That's God will take care of that. So that is one aspect of chose us in him. Then let's see the second part. I will do to be attached to Christ. Okay. This part I will need a little bit more about explanation. May not be easy to explain. I try my best. In the Bible, Jesus spoke about parable more than 40. Some people say 35, 39, and some people say 50. So I think it's around 40-something. That's a parable. Do you know what's parable? Parable meaning because spiritual thing is unseen. You cannot see it, and you cannot really explain to people. So Jesus used a lot of parable. With the parable, the person will have a picture, and then that picture will be in your mind always. And then gradually, you can draw from the picture a lot of truth. You may see one side, and the next day you may see another side. So it's get deeper image. Since the parable have about 40 or 40 something, and every one of the parable only talk about one aspect of the kingdom. For example, now this parable talk about salvation. You know, gospel give everyone. But some people not respond. Some people respond. And this is free, because you do nothing. You just come to join. And they say, like, is evil good or bad? It's on a stranger, everyone, not the master knowing them. They don't know them. They're just on the street and invite them. We don't check background, see whether they are safe or not, and they're doing good or not. No, just all over. So that's one aspect of the gospel. It's true for everyone. Either you say you're a good man, or you think you're a sinner, you're very bad. God can save you. As long as you are sincere, come to the Lord and repent yourself, forgiveness is ready for you. And then some kind of parable will talk about how to use your gift. God, like one of the parables, Jesus was a king or a master went out to travel and then called the servant, come over here, and one give him like a 5 talent. One give him 2 talent, meaning money. And the other one give 1 talent and say, oh, you have your money, go invest. And then when I come back, report to me how much money you make. And then the 5 talent people say, oh, I come back with 5 talent. Master, I have 5 parents, 5 talent, and I make another 5 talent. So I now 10 talent, give it to you. And then the master say, good, you're a good servant. And the other 2 talent also make 2 talent. And the other 1 talent say, oh no, I only have 1 talent. This is very precious money. Since my master entrusts me, and I shouldn't invest, because investing is risky. So I better to bury on the ground. It's very safe. I don't want to use the money to invest because it's risky. And then once the master comes back, he's very happy. Hey, master, here is 1 talent. I preserve it. I used all my wisdom, preserve it, and then now she is safety. So now the master will say, you are bad servant. You are evil doing. You are not doing the job. So this is one aspect of use your talent. And the other parables talk about the judgment. On the last day, they will have judgment. So all this, the kingdom from the beginning to the end, Jesus Christ come back. There are so many spiritual truths. So that's parable. And a parable have a character is you cannot make sense of the parable. Meaning you cannot just say, this parable doesn't make sense. I mean, there's a lot of trick here, there. How come that happened? Just like here, the master, the king, sent the army to destroy the king, the city. The people reject the invitation. Do you think that's the real? And do you think some people will be send the servant and then get all the people on the street, no matter if they are good or bad, and just come to their wedding? This is not real life. So you cannot pick, this is not right, that's not a point. The point is emphasize on some people reject, some people accept. First one. The second one is when you come into the wedding, you have to follow the rule. Meaning you come to the salvation, have a term. Repent. You have to repent, and then you accept Christ as your Lord, your Savior. So that's it. If you don't accept that kind of term, you will be rejected. So that's the point of the parable, not the detail whether it makes sense or not. Okay. So that. Then let's see the. Okay. Let's see whether I have this. Today we probably cannot comprehend about slave or servant. Usually in the old day, in the Roman, I read a story, the history. Roman had about 6 million of slave. Slave meaning you can buy them from the market. Just like in the old day, America and Europe, they can trade the slave. Meaning you own, there's a possession, you own them, and you can sell to other people once they pay the money. And you can also, like I call slave. In those days, the servant, slave, they live with the master. The master have over control to them. So they'll ask you do this, ask you do that, you just have to do it. In today, you can see maybe like an employee. But I think some employee were bigger than the boss. Because if you are not happy, you just resign and send in resignation, and I'm done. So today's employee, sometimes you can see they are bigger than the boss. The boss will worry, wow, my employee just left yesterday. What am I going to do? I need to find someone to fill in. So today we don't have that kind of concept of slave, servant. What is the master and the slave relationship? So, but if you look at the old day, is actually you can see the slave have no right, and they can be purchased by anyone. Yeah, so that's In here, God wants us to be in Christ and then become us. Okay, let's see. Maybe I'll read a little bit about Galatians. I'll read about verse 1, and then I'll explain this, because I need some kind of background before I explain to you. Hopefully another few minutes. Okay. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. Let me read it for you. Now I say, as long as the heir is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave, although he is owner of everything, but he is under guardian and manager until the day set by the father. So also we, while we were children, were held in bondage under the elemental thing of the world. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. I just read this and then continue on. 21. Chapter 4, 21. Tell me, you who want to be under law, do you not listen to the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the bond woman and one by the free woman. But a son by the bond woman was born according to the flesh, and a son by the free woman through the promise. And this is allegorically speaking, for these two women actually represent two covenants. Okay, now we do this, and then we can turn to here. Let's see. Because we want to understand the sonship and the slave. I want to emphasize on how important as a son. Although we are thinking today, we are all free. We are all pretty much free. We are nothing under the bondage. We have no master. Now our master is Jesus Christ, of course. But here, Paul will give us idea. Today, in today's our believer, he said that, in the Bible, there are two women. One is Sarah, of Abraham's wife, and the other is Hagar. So the one born by Hagar, the Egyptian woman, was Ishmael. And the reason was because God promised Abraham will have a son. But eventually, after 20 years, he still have no son at all. On the age 75, God called him and promised you will have a son. But on the after 10 years, 85 or 86, he still have no son. So his wife suggests, I have a maidservant here, and she will become your wife, and you just have a son with him, with her, and then that is called Ishmael. Eventually, Ishmael meant throughout of the house. And then another 10 years, God promised Isaac will be born by Sarah. So this is two sons. One is Ishmael, and the other one is Isaac. So here, Paul wanted to emphasize there are two women here. One is Sarah. The other one is Hagar. They are represent for two covenant. One is old covenant. The other is new covenant. Okay. So here they say one is according to flesh. The other is according to promise. One is flesh. The other is spiritual. And then apply to us today, we have two also inside. One is our flesh, the other one is our spiritual. If you are born only, if you only have a life from your parents, natural life, that is flesh. You already have that. But if you're born again, you will have spiritual life. And it's two life. Since now we have the Son, Jesus Christ, we have born again by the Holy Spirit, we have the new life, spiritual life. So that is the life we should nurture. We should like feed the new life to become gradually stronger than the old self. So this is why here Paul is saying, we have the sonship inside of us. We are no longer slave. under the Old Testament, Israel worked very hard to obey the law, but the problem is they only have fresh life. So eventually, God said, no one, because you have no life inside of you can fulfill the law. So no one, every one of you are sin. So they have to offer sacrifice. They have to offer the sin offering every year for whole Israel nation. The high priest have to offer on the Day of Atonement for the whole nation the sin offering. Meaning, in the Old Testament, you are under the law, you are under the flesh. And now Jesus said, you are no longer under the law, you are under the grace. Meaning, you are not follow tradition. You are not follow people tell you how to do. The Holy Spirit will tell you. And you will know the truth. You will know Christ. So this is called sonship. You're free. You're free. You are free in the truth. You are free in the grace. You are no longer under the sin. You're free from sin. Okay. So that is, I think I pretty much cannot go any longer. You're probably too tired. So 2 points. One is, God predestined us to be son, meaning free, sonship. And the God chose us is even before the creation of the world. Yeah. And next time we'll talk about, so this is a God before create a human being, is already have a goal, purpose here. But that purpose was interrupted by Satan, because Satan entered Eden, the garden, and then Adam and Eve sinned against God. And at that point, God's plan was interrupted. God's plan was frustrated, meaning God's plan kind of all of a sudden failed. So God already had planned for that is his son, Jesus Christ. So at a due time, Jesus came to the world. So the next time we'll talk about verse 7 and 8, the salvation through Jesus Christ. How does salvation accomplish? That will be next time topic. Okay. I personally myself had read the Bible say about sin, we are free from sin. The truth will give us free. Actually, I personally myself, just like our brother Daniel, share about at some point of your life you were doubt about God's words, whether true or not. Because you think your life is not like Bible says you're free from sin and the truth will give you free. You will still feel like a lot of in the real life you are not free. So you struggle. And that is the process you have to go through. Meaning you will believe in the Bible. Every word in the beginning, you say, wow, this is wonderful. Wow, this is great. Since we were baptized into Christ, we have united with his death, and we surely was resurrected with Christ. But at some point, you will see kind of not that simple, and you are going through a process of kind of start doubting whether this is true or not. And then you were, once you not give up, you still continue, go on in series with God. At some point, God will open your eye. And you are all of a sudden seeing freedom you experience. Have you guys read about the Pilgrim Progress? Very small book, Pilgrim Progress. The Pilgrim Progress starts with a character called Christian. This guy, the Christian, lived in a destruction city. So he realized, we are doomed. I have to get out of the city. So he started his journey. And then he met a preacher. The name is Preacher. I mean, it's an evangelist. Evangelist. Another character called Evangelist. So Evangelist told him the way to go. So he just traveled, but he feel very burdened. I mean, he believed in the truth, but he had a burden. And then he traveled and he asked the preacher, the evangelist, how can I get rid of my burden? He said, no one can help you. You just follow. At some point, the burden will get off your shoulder. So this guy continued to go, But unfortunately, he stumbled into the smash, full of water, and then almost drowned. The other two, they think, well, this is not right. This road is going to nowhere. I'm going to go back. So the two of other companions went back to the city, and he continued going on. And once get to the other side, the evangelist came up again. He said, how come you guys not fix the road for the Christian like me can walk on the way safe and also kind of easy? He said, no. My master tried to fix, and every time after he fixed, it's just like this again, because this is all the human being sin. All the human being sin just polluted. No matter how you fix, they just like this. So my master did many times, but give up because this is human being sin. And so it's continued. Until one day, he really came to the cross, and all of a sudden, the burden gone. So that's kind of spiritual journey will be like something like this. Hopefully one day you will be able to understand. Yeah. Okay, let's have a prayer, conclude our meeting today. Lord, we thank you for your wonderful salvation, but your salvation is not a limit just for us, just for our eternal life. You have a bigger picture for us because you have a purpose. You want to build every one of us become your dwelling place. And you have a glory kingdom, glory plan for us. And you have all riches, inheritance in Christ, want us to claim. Lord, we confess, sometimes we just live in a life very mingled. We are not really in the riches of the spiritual. We are too much into this world. Lord, we confess to you, and may you continue work on us. May you continue be with every one of us until when we see you, you will say we are a faithful servant. Lord, we just ask you to be continue bless us, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, thank you. Luis, you want to make an announcement?